بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned and he told us why he created us. The purpose of our creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah said, we have not created the jinn and the insan, the humans, for anything other than our worship. And then Allah said, مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَن يُطْعِمُونَ. Allah said, we don't ask them to feed us. We don't ask them to feed our creatures. We feed them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينُ. Allah said, verily and truly and certainly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is al-Razzaq. He is the one who provides all risk through His power. قُوَّةِ الْمَتِينُ. Risk is not only food. Risk is every need of the human, that the human needs in every state of his life. In every stage of his life. The reason I'm saying this is because, as you know, everything has a purpose. This light has a purpose. The purpose of that tube light is to illuminate. The chair has a purpose, so that we can sit. This mic has a purpose, so that the voice can be amplified. When the thing stops fulfilling its purpose, what do? You first try to repair it, and then if it is not repairable, you throw it away. You replace it. Repair and replace. Right? We do this with everything. And that is the logical thing to do. Our phones, right? This phone has a purpose. And the purpose of the phone is to help us to communicate. So if this phone stops doing that, completely ceases, becomes, you know, a brick. It happens, it happened to one of my Android phones. Just one day, it just became a brick, did nothing. You can't turn it on, can't turn it off. I mean, if you can't turn it on, you can't turn it off, obviously. Nothing, you can't do anything with it. So now, do you think when that happens, supposing I tell you, you know, this poor phone, it served me well for so many years. It's a nice phone, decent phone, never troubled me. Huh? So I'm going to put a chain and hang it on my neck out of respect for the phone. What will you say? You would say, Shaykh, you should, you know, get your head examined, because if the thing has no use, if it is not doing what it's supposed to do, get another phone. Don't hang it on your neck out of respect for the phone. What respect? The thing is dead, it's dead, throw it away. I'm saying this to remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for a purpose, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated what is that purpose. It's not left for us to guess, and you know. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore, Allah will also apply the same principle, the same logic, which is that if we stop fulfilling our purpose, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us some chance to repair ourselves. And if we don't repair ourselves, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace us. We have this example of the people before us who were also sent in the world in their time with the same job of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they stopped doing that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a chance to correct themselves And when they did not do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced them. Allah brought us, brought the Muslims. Our issue is, Rasulullah said, La nabiyya ba'di wa la ummata ba'duk. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no Nabi after me, and there is no Ummah after you. So we are the last of the people. After us, there is only the Day of Judgment. Rasulullah said, he held up his hand like this with his two fingers, the index finger and the middle finger together, and he said, me and the Day of Judgment is like this. So close. So no one will replace us. We are the last. And that is the reason why we need to get our act together and start doing our job. And what is that job? That job is twofold. One, at an individual level, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ. To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alone, because only He is worthy of being worshipped. And the second job we have at a collective level is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْعَوْنَ لِلْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Imran, you are the best of people, you have been selected for the benefit of mankind. Your job is to enjoin good and forbid evil, and you have faith in Allah. So we have an individual purpose and we have a collective purpose. That's why we exist. The fact that we have businesses, we have jobs, we have families, we have this, we have that, we build houses, all of this is part of it. If you are traveling, supposing from here you are going for Allah, and I ask you, what is the purpose of this journey? You say, I'm going for Umrah. Alhamdulillah. Do you put on clothes or you go for Umrah without clothes? You put on clothes. Do you take your change of clothes, something, a suitcase, some luggage, or no? Take it away. On the way you get hungry, you buy food or you don't buy food? You buy food. Maybe you have to spend overnight somewhere and you stay in a hotel or you don't stay in a hotel? You stay in a hotel. But none of those things is the purpose. The purpose is to go for Umrah, is to go make Umrah. Right? We wear clothes, we buy a plane ticket, we get on the plane, we get off the plane, we check into a hotel, we stay in the hotel, maybe there is another flight to catch, we catch another flight, whatever. All of this is in order to fulfill the purpose, which is to make Umrah. Even though we are doing all this, none of this is the purpose. So also in this life, the purpose is individually to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, collectively to spread this word of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spread the word about the deen of Islam, spread the word about justice, spread the word about ethics and morals and values to the whole world and bring about change in the world. That is the purpose. While we do this purpose, we also need to eat food. So you go and do a job or you have a business, you also need to stay somewhere. So you buy a house or you rent a house and so on and so on. You need transportation, so you buy a car. But none of that is the purpose. To build a great big house is not the purpose. To buy a fancy car is not the purpose. These are all things which help us to achieve our purpose. Now, obviously, if I want to achieve my purpose, I need some knowledge. Because if you say my purpose is to worship Allah, how do I worship Allah? What's the way? I should know. If I say Amar bil Maruf and Nahi al Munkar, enjoining good and forbidding evil, what is good, what is evil? I must know. Because there are many things which seem to be good For example, the father and I were talking, one of the, I call this one of the modern diseases, spiritual illnesses of our times, is that we treat the masjid like an entertainment center. People come to the masjid if there is a barbecue. People come to the masjid if there is some basketball game happening or some soccer happening or some other, you know, entertainment happening. So what's the difference between the masjid and some entertainment center, some community center or something? What is the meaning of masjid? Masjid is what? In the Arabic language, anything which comes with the meme, the ma before it, means the place. Maktabakh, kitchen, place for tabak. Makan, place where you stay. Masjid, place for sajda. Not place for soccer, not place for basketball, not place for barbecue. So is it haram to have a barbecue? No, it's not haram. Please. No problem, alhamdulillah. Some occasion, something. So we have a party. No problem, alhamdulillah. But if people are coming only when you have this, then you got a problem. The purpose of the masjid is salah. So barbecue, you have the masjid is full. Next one is salatul fajr, same three people. Then you got a problem. Then we have a big problem. But this is a strict, if you look at it today in most places, this is the issue. Ramadan, you can put a date on it. First 3 days, masjid will be full. Fourth day onwards, it will start decreasing. Huh? It will go on decreasing until the beginning of the last 10 days. Then you will have, because of Yamulin, you will have people in the last 10 days. That's not the idea. Salah is Salah, Taraweeh is Taraweeh. There is no difference between the Taraweeh on the 15th of Ramadan and the 20th of Ramadan. Is there a difference? Same Taraweeh. So if we want to fulfill this purpose of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes and will reward us, and of enjoining good and forbidding evil, then we have to learn what to do. Right? If I don't know how to worship Allah, how will I worship Allah in the first place? My own salah will be wrong. And then how will I teach anybody else? Because I don't know myself. So I need to learn. I need to learn to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I need to, be clear in my mind about what I am doing, so that I can do it properly and I can teach others. And that is the reason why the tarbiyah of children is the number one responsibility of parents. Now the responsibility of parents is number one, and it's in two folds, two parts. One is to do your own tarbiyah first. Because very simple, you cannot give what you don't have. You can't teach what you don't know. So how can the father or the mother teach the child how to pray when their own salah is wrong? So today this is I mentioned to you one spiritual illness, which is masjids have become entertainment centers. The second bimari is that parents are under some misconception that my children need education. My children need education. I am saying misconception because not because that statement is wrong. Your children do need education, no doubt about that. But you need education also. And you need education before your children. But somewhere parents seem to have this, I don't know where this thing comes from. Parents seem to have this, you know, thing in the mind to say that I am good. I don't need anything. I am going to be running around morning till night, day shift, night shift, whatnot. And I will shunt off my children to Sunday school, Monday school, Tuesday school, worked up, this, that, whatnot. I am good. Please, don't fool yourself. Do not fool yourself. You are not good. You are in serious trouble in this dunya as well as with Allah. Just think about this. We live in a place, these cities, this in the northeast. You are out on the street, you are driving every day. One of the things that you see here is huge churches, right? Huge, big buildings, stone buildings, fantastic buildings, big cathedrals, all this. Have you ever been inside one? Go. Go on a Sunday to a service. Just go sit at the back. Count the number of people. In most of them, if you can find 10 or 15 people, you are lucky. The church is built for 3,000 people. I have been to churches, I have been to interfaith programs. In one church, the priest tells me, if you want to use the church for any of your meetings, most welcome, we have all this space, please. You know and I know how many churches in this country are bought by Muslims to make masajid. Do you think that those people who build the church, just imagine, put yourself back again, that church, some of these are over 100 years old, right? So do you think these people who built the church, do you think they had a meeting of their board and said, you know, let us build it correctly because one day we have to sell this to Muslims. So we want to build it in a way where Muslims will buy it. Do you think they had this conversation? Didn't they build the churches to sell them to Muslims? So why are they selling them? Because they can't maintain, they can't afford, they can't maintain them. Because people are gone. Have they all died? No, they are there. They are there, their children are there, their grandchildren, great-grandchildren, everybody is there. They're just not interested in the church. They're just not interested in the religion. So why do you imagine that this will not happen to you and me? May Allah protect us. This can happen, this will happen. Unless we make effort. And that is why the importance of our Dini Madaris, our religious educational institutions, whether it is Sunday school, whether it is Makatib, whether it is Darul Ulooms, whatever, call it by any name you like, the importance of religious education, Dini education, very, very critical. That is what we need to do. Right? And as I told you, twofold. The children, send them to the Sunday school, send them to the maktab, whatever is happening in your place. And you also go. Parents must go. Go and sit, tell your imam, tell the people running the school, while our children are in the school, those 2 hours, we, the parents, will sit here, do a class for us. Teach us something. Teach us to read Quran. Start with the Quran. How many people can recite Quran correctly? Simple Surah Al-Fatiha, you stand here and lead Salah. How many people can do that? Why is it that in most Masajid, you have your Imam or you have somebody who comes for Juba? If that person doesn't come, the Masjid will have 100 people in it. Not one of them can give the khutbah for Juba. Why? It is shameful, no? Tell me. We have no priesthood. There is no pope. There is no bishop and there is no parish priest and there is no cardinal and so on. We don't have a priesthood. Whose job is it to need salah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored all Muslims. Any Muslim man who is aqil and baligh, who is not insane, his brain is functioning, and if he is, has reached the age of maturity, is technically capable of leading salah. I have always said this in many, many places. There are four things that every single Muslim male must know, must be taught, must learn. No matter which age you are, if you don't know these four things, then start learning now. Number one, salah. To lead salah, meaning you should be able to recite Quran correctly. You should have enough Quran to be able to lead salah. It's not enough if I say I have first rakat, inna atayana, second rakat, follow Allah wahad, that's all I know. No. You don't have to be hafiz of the Quran, but you have to know at least something so that for Salatul Fajr, for example, you are able to recite at least 20 ayat or 15 ayat or 30 ayat. The Prophet ﷺ used to recite, even if you don't do 30, at least do 20. You should be able to know how to recite Quran correctly and know enough Quran, do some hifz. Secondly, you must know the masail. As the imam, what is the niyah you are making? As the imam, what happens if you make a mistake? What about Sadr Sawuk? What happens if your wudu goes as an imam? What must you do? People must know. And so on. All the masail with regard to salah. So the first thing, salah. Second thing every Muslim male should be able to do is the khutbah for Jummah. I'm not talking about giving my big bayan, no. I'm not talking about giving a speech and this and that and, you know, speaking skills. I'm talking about the khutbah, which is the masala of the khutbah. What must it have? Two parts of the khutbah. How do you start it? How do you end it? What do you say in between? And the Arabic of it. This every Muslim man should be able to do. You can have an imam, you can have a khatib, but if the khatib does not come, simply I can shut my eyes, I can point like this and whoever I'm pointing to, please come here, do the khutbah, you should be able to do it. You should be able to do it. Right? Second one. Third one, the masail of janazah. If a Muslim dies, what must you do? How do you give the ghusl of janazah? How do you put the kafan? How do you do salatul janazah? Right? Today we are in a state where your parents, your mother gave birth to you, your mother and father spent their whole life raising you, they worked so hard, they did everything. And then the mother or the father dies, you cannot even perform their last rites. That last service you are not able to give to somebody who spent his whole life for you. Because you don't have 10 minutes to spare. It takes only 10 minutes to learn, nothing else. But you don't have the 10 minutes. So some strange imam has to do it for you. How shameful is that? Tell me. How shameful is that? Three things. Fourth thing, which actually I should have told you the first one, which is the masail of tahara, purification, ghusl and wudu. People don't know. We have women who have five children, they do not know how to make ghusl. Your entire life, you don't know masail of haiz, you don't know the masail of the periods. Your entire life is in a state of impurity. So also the men. You don't know the masail of ghusl, so the whole life is going without without purifying yourself. If you are in need of ghusl and you have not done ghusl, just making wudu and doing salah is not valid. How long does it take to learn the masala of ghusl? 3 minutes. 3 minutes, literally, you can time it. But you don't have the 3 minutes. You want to spend your whole life in a state of impurity. So please understand this. Tahara, the masail of tahara, purification. Salah, khutbah, jumah, and janazah. These four things must be fard on every single Muslim man and woman. They must know. Even the women teach them that so that they can teach their children. We don't expect the woman to lead salah. It is haram. She cannot lead salah. She can lead salah for other women. When no other man is present, she can lead salah by standing in the middle of the saf if she needs to. But she cannot lead a big gathering, or she cannot lead men, and she cannot stand in front and lead salah. But she must know, because she can teach her children. And obviously the masail of tahara and the masail of janaza and so on, they should know, because the women will give ghusl to the women and so on. We know the drama we have every time. Any time somebody dead, four. Call this one, call that person, not dead. Why are you like this? Why are you chasing people? This was, why do it? Whoever is there, fadal. I'm ready, mashallah, no problem. Because we don't know. My brothers and sisters, it is it is high time we wake up. Remember, we are living in a world which is a world of deception. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran 1400 years ago. إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا وَتَعَوَ الْغُرُوفِ كَوَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا وَتَعَوَ الْغُرُوفِ. Allah said that the life of this world is only deception. كَوَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا وَتَعَوَ الْغُرُوفِ. Deception. What appears is not what it is. And as life goes forward, as technology develops, we are going from here to AI and this and that. There's a series of khatiras I've done in the last 3 or 4 khatiras on this, on the issue of AI and so on. Right? The world is a world of deception, and the deception is getting more and more real, more and more powerful. And the thing that will save us from deception is the. Then our eyes will open. That is why we have the dua, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan. وارزقنا اتباع وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابا. Oh Allah, show me the truth as truth, meaning show me the truth behind the falsehood I'm seeing, and enable me and help me to follow that. And oh Allah, show me the falsehood as falsehood. Let the falsehood not deceive me. وارزقنا اجتنابا, and grant for me that I should be able to stay away, اجتناب, from the falsehood. So I remind myself and you, this is very, very important. We must focus on this education. Alhamdulillah, this masjid you are starting, I believe, Sunday school. Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless you. Send your children and you go also. Right? Invite the parents, then the parents come and run a class for the parents also. There is no shame in learning. There is shame in ignorance. If you go to the imam, if you go to the teacher and say, I do not know the masail of tahara, of purification, please teach me. There is no shame in that. That is very good. To simply be and live without knowing is shame. That is the shameful thing. To ask a question and not, don't be ashamed for that. Unless you ask, how will you know? So please, call the people, sit with them, support the Sunday school, put your hand in your pocket, take out money and pay. That is your spiritual insurance. It is like your life insurance. Life insurance is haram. This is not haram, this is halal. This money, first and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. Secondly, this is your guarantee that you will raise children who will make dua for you when you are gone. Otherwise, just think about that. If your child cannot even, does not even know how to do Salatul Janaza for you, what dua is meaning for you? So please, support. Support the work. Alhamdulillah, I'm very happy this initiative is starting here. Support it fully. We have the Maktab in ISWM. MashaAllah, may Allah bless you. Many of you from here who are teachers there and who children are there, MashaAllah, continue with that. Same children can also come for the Saturday school, no problem. That's in Sunday, so that one finishes on Thursday. So get them together and make sure that this education is supported and strong. In the Hanafi Mazhab, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah said, the only duty of the wife is the tarbiyah of the children. Only duty. Apart from the physical relationship between the husband and the wife, the only duty. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah said that it is the duty of the husband to provide his wife with cooked food. Cooked food. It is not her duty to cook food for you. It is your duty to cook food for her or find somebody to cook. Cooked food. Her duty is to the children. Her duty is the tarbiyah of the children. Today we think parenting means to feed children, give them nice clothes, nice place to stay, then gadgets, Xbox and this and that, and this game, that game, smartphone, stupid phone, and that's it, job over. We have children who have no manners, we have children who will sit in the masjid, legs out like this, facing the imam, so the imam can look at your feet. Nobody teaches to say, don't sit like this. It's very lack of adab to sit with your feet up like this in the face of the imam. I don't know how we forget all this. Tell me something. You guys, most of you are from Sri Lanka, right? Do you know this is Sri Lanka? In Sri Lanka, I have been to Sri Lanka many, many, many times. So you can't, nobody can tell me about what I know what happened in Sri Lanka. And never in my life have I seen the Sri Lankan masjid, Sri Lankan people, the most respectful, the most beautiful manners I've seen in Sri Lanka. Small thing, no one in Sri Lanka will sit with his back to the wall, with his legs stretched out like this, towards the Qibla. Nobody. But what happens when you come to America? We are supposed to bring the goodness from our cultures into this country and spread that. Instead of that, we dump our goodness and we take the evil from here. In Sri Lanka, have you ever seen somebody pick up the Quran, Musaf, and then put it on the carpet? Have you seen this? What will happen if you do it? Here, all the Nigam tell them, don't put the Musaf on the carpet, for God's sake, have some respect to the Kitab of Allah. Read it, put it in its place. My brothers and sisters, nobody is born with knowledge. These things happen in Sri Lanka because somebody is teaching them. Same thing in India, I am from India, same thing in India. We'll never have any of this thing in India. People come, they sit respectfully, they do this. You won't have children running around like mad people in the masjid. MashaAllah, we have a whole bunch of young children here, but they're sitting, you know, reasonably peacefully. At least they're not making a noise. My father used to take me and my brother, 3 years younger than me. So he used to take me and my brother. My brother at that time must have been maybe 7 years old or something. I was 10. We would go and listen to bayans. In India in those days, bayan after Isha. Isha will be usually 9 o'clock. So after Isha finishes the bayan. Those masajid, no carpet, no nothing, just stone floor. So sitting on the stone floor, and any bayan which is less than 3 hours, people are not satisfied. If you speak for 1 hour, 1.5 hours, then people will come and they shake your hand and say, Hazrat, are you feeling well today? Are you not well? Is there something wrong? You spoke only for 1 hour. But 3 hours we would sit on the stone floor without moving. That's how we learnt. Alhamdulillah, I'm not saying take off the carpet and let them sit on the stone floor. No, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us comforts. Be comfortable, no problem. Sit on the ground. If they're sitting on the ground difficult for you, sit on the chair, no problem. But respect, interest in what is happening, interest in the deen. This is very important. Dressing properly. Unfortunately, we are living in a country where the whole culture is the opposite of this. I go to colleges, I teach in colleges here. I know what kind of clothes they wear when they come to class. Unbelievable. First time I saw any of this, I said, Subhanallah, this is a college, this is a class. This is an educational institution. People have come to study and they are dressed like this. It's an indication of your interest in learning and teaching. No, if you are dressed in this way. But my point is, let anybody do what they want. They are not our teachers. Our teacher is Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our teacher is our Rasul alayhi salam. So you don't have to say, in this culture, forget the culture. We will do what our Rasul taught us sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the ayat I recited, what is this? Kuntu khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. Allah said, you are the best people, you have been extracted for the people. To do what? To be role models. To teach the people. Not to be like them. Not to become like them. Allah said, we sent you so that you can teach them. How will we teach them if our own ways are wrong? No? You know, a national flag of any country, when it is flying on the flagpole, you salute it, right? If you have a national day, this, that. Same flag, if it gets dirty, you wash it and you pull it on the clothesline, along with your banyan and your other clothes. Somebody passing by, will you salute the flag? No. Same flag. Flag is not changed, same color, same everything, same. Which is on the flag post, the same thing is on the clothesline, it has been tried. Nobody will say, why? Because it is not in the right place. A flag is saluted only when it is flying high. Same thing with us. Allah gave us a position for a purpose. If we want the honor which goes with that position, we have to fulfill the purpose. And the purpose is to live according to Islam and to demonstrate that Islam to the world. That is the purpose. Amar bil Maruf and Nahi anil Munkar is not only about talking, it's about demonstrating. So I remind myself in you, Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless you, may Allah bless this masjid, may Allah bless this community. May Allah bless all of you. You're starting a very good thing with the school. Please support it in every way possible and take it forward. And as I said, parents must come to the madrasa, when they must come on Sunday. Don't just dump the children in the school and go off to Costco or something to do your weekly shopping. No. Come with the children, sit with the children, learn with the children. If not in their class, ask the teachers to arrange one more. All you need is one extra teacher. Oh, sit them down here. You also learn. Even if you do nothing, just come and sit in the masjid while the children are studying, read the Quran. Just be there because your presence is a matter of benefit for the children. They see here, whole bunch of young kids, But because you guys are sitting there, they are also sitting peacefully. If the fathers aren't disappearing, what will happen here? You will have chaos. Your presence is good, Alhamdulillah. It's good for them. It gives a sense of importance to them. My father is sitting here, must be important. So please do that. Inshallah, yeah? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you and to give you what you ask and give you more than that from his generosity and grace. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from you and us and protect all of us from all the evil influence of society. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us all standard bearers and models for the rest of society. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put the ishtiyaq and the desire to learn and to please him and to learn how to please him and to do what it takes to please him. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمته يا أرحم الراحمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.